Hello, this is Scooter. Thanks for joining me here at Fish Toes. This is episode 2, and we're going to talk about the basic equipment you need to get started in fishing. Episode 1, we discussed licenses, rules, and regulations, so hopefully you've got that all taken care of and a bit of an understanding of what's going on there. And so now you want to get out fishing. So we're going to go over the basic equipment that you're going to need. If you've been fishing and are still fairly new to it, you know, there might be some points in here that'll help you out. If not, hopefully in some upcoming episodes, we'll start getting into some things that'll be benefit to you. So if you don't own any fishing equipment, we're going to kind of get you set up with everything that you need just to get out there and start catching some fish, and we'll kind of grow from there, hopefully. So the basic equipment we're going to be looking at, of course, is rod, reel, and fishing line in that setup. And then the equipment you're going to need, or the tackle you're going to need to basically get your, you know, get a hook with a worm on it, get it in the water and catch a fish. So this other equipment is going to involve things like snap swivels, hooks, sinkers, bobbers, you know, a net to land a fish, pliers or forceps that I prefer to get, you know, take the hook out of a fish's mouth, or and a few other little things you can use it for. A knife is always an important addition for a fisherman, just a little pocket knife, something simple, a little multi-tool, anything like that works just fine. So let's discuss the rods and reels. I've always kind of considered there's 5 basic setups in fishing. There are more than that, but 5 kind of cover the gambit, if you will, of the main ones, which are push button, open faced or spinning reels, you have bait casters, you have trolling rigs, and you have fly fishing setups. So we're going to kind of just focus on the first 2 right now. The other 3 are a little bit more advanced or more specialized. You know, unless you really want to start in something like fly fishing, which we will cover later, we're gonna just focus on push button and spinning reels. So if you are looking at, I would recommend you'd go to just a local sporting goods store. You can, you know, check with friends, go to yard sales. There's always usually some stuff that's available. And, you know, if you're just getting started, you probably don't want to put a lot of money into this until you're sure it's something you like, you know, can make time to do and so forth. And then, you know, from that point, you can look at investing into some better equipment. There's a lot of starter equipment out there that works really well and is inexpensive. So, you know, don't think you need to break the bank to get into fishing. So push buttons are pretty much just what like they sound like. It's a rod that has a trigger on the bottom, kind of, so you'll have a handle and a little trigger on the bottom of that rod. And on the top side of the rod is a push button reel, which has a button at the bottom of it. And that is how you cast it. You basically put your hand around the rod using all your fingers to hold it, and your pointer finger would go on the trigger, and your thumb would be on top of that rod now with the being able to set directly onto the push button. You would take your rod out to the side, push the button in, swing the rod forward, and release the button as you kind of complete your arc. And that's going to release the line. There's a little bell in there that when you push the button, the bell comes up and actually kind of pinches the line so that it won't cast when you push the button in. But when you release it, that bell is going to slide down enough to let all the line come out as you know, you cast your line forward. Spinning reels work somewhat similar, except there's no button. You're going to hold the rod higher up, so you're going to have most of your hand on the rod above the reel seat where the reel attaches to the rod. And there's what's called a bail, which is a little wire or a little thin metal rod that wraps around the spool, and that flips over. And when that's flipped over, the line can freely come off. So to stop the line from freely coming off until you're casting, you rest the line on your finger, your trigger finger. And then when you would cast forward, you would release that finger, or kind of like reverse pull a trigger on a gun, you would let your trigger finger straighten, and now the line can freely spool off the line and go forward as you would complete the arc of your cast, you would let go of that. I will go over some casting and stuff in the next episode a little bit more. This is really just designed to sort of get the equipment you need, but I did want to give you a slight explanation on how those work. So a push button is generally considered one of the easiest types to use. A lot of people will consider that, that's there for kids. I know a lot of people that use push buttons the whole way through their lives, and they work great. There's nothing wrong with push buttons. There is a little more friction in the line coming out because it is encased, so they, in general, they tend to not cast as far, and they also wear on the fishing line a little bit more. But aside from those things there's really nothing wrong at all with the push button. Now, one thing I do want to talk about is right and left-handed. I fish a little weirdly. I'm right-handed, but my spinning reels are set up as though I was a lefty. But if you notice that when you get a push button, when you're fishing, the reel is actually seated on top of the rod. So if you're holding the rod, say in your left hand, the reel is going to be, and the actual handle of the reel is going to be on the right side of a typical one. You can buy them for lefties. But that means you are holding the rod in your left hand while reeling with your right. Now, in a normal setup, in a spinning reel, the reel actually hangs down off the bottom of the rod. So when you're casting and you're retrieving, the rod is on top with the reel hanging underneath. And a default setup is going to actually be that you've got the rod in your right hand and you're reeling with your left. This way you can cast with your right and you can immediately start reeling with your left to retrieve the line. So this is actually opposite of a push button. And actually a bait caster would fish the same way. The reel would be on top and you would reel with your right hand. So I never quite understood why they were reversed like that. But I will tell you this, on a spinning reel, there's where the handle is, and I don't know that I've ever seen one, the handle is reversible. It's going to be set up in two ways. One, you turn the handle backwards. So instead of reeling in, you're reeling the opposite direction, and that'll let the handle unthread. And then on the opposite side, there's a little cap that you would just unscrew, and then you just swap the two. And as you reel forward with that, it's going to tighten the screw in that goes in for the handle. The other type works the same way, except the cap that's on the other end is actually a screw that goes through and into the handle, and you can just unscrew that, swap them around, so you can fish with the handle on either side. I don't know if it's because when I was little and I used a push button, I was just used to reeling with my right hand, so I continued that. So I typically fish with my left hand on the rod, no matter what type of fishing setup I'm using, and the handle of the reel is on the right side. The only difference is if you're used to casting with your right hand, then you would switch it to your left before you would start reeling. I've kind of taught myself to fish or cast with my left hand. Either way, I can do both directions, and then so you can immediately start retrieving and you're not switching the hand around. It's usually not that critical that you start reeling in that quickly that you can't switch the rod to the other hand. But I did want to sort of just touch base on that a little bit in case you kind of noticed that that's a little bit of an oddity that you can get. Again, push buttons, bait casters, and so forth, you can purchase those that are designed for left-handed, but they're not actually very common. A sporting goods store that has a good selection of rods and reels will have some of them, typically it's not a big deal. You sort of get used to what you're using and you can become comfortable either way. So that's enough about that. I just sort of wanted to make the comment on that. So the main thing you're going to do is decide, okay, where do you want to start? Push button or spinning reel? There is one other type that looks like a push button, and instead of having a button on the back of it, it's going to actually have a trigger that lays along the rod, kind of parallel to the rod on the top side of the reel. And this fish is basically just like a spinning reel, where you're going to hold the rod above the seated part of where the reel attaches, you know, to the rod. And in the trigger, you'll put your trigger finger on that, you'll pull it, cast forward, and as you're swinging forward, you let go of that trigger. So it works very similar in design like a spinning reel, even though it's a closed-faced reel, which is basically what a push button is. So they're not quite as common, but you'll see them out there. First thing is going to be to decide what type you want to start with. Either one is perfectly fine. In the next episode, when we're talking about actually kind of being out fishing, I'll kind of go over the techniques of each of those a little bit more. So you may want to listen to that one before you purchase anything, but you're really not going to go wrong with either one. Spinning is probably by far the most popular type. You get a little more control out of it. And you can actually see the line on the spool instead of being closed behind a housing. So if there's a problem going on, you can kind of see it and identify it a little bit easier. I primarily do more spinning. I no longer own a push button, though, like I said, they work great. They're simple to use, and there's certainly nothing wrong with a push button. So you'll probably hear me refer to things more often in the tense of using a spinning reel as opposed to a push button, but mostly anything we're talking about is pretty universal. So once you've selected what type you want, we need to focus on the size of it and the rating of it on what type of line or what weight of line you're using. So fishing line has a weight description to it. So you can get, 2 pound test, you can get, 10, 20, and basically on 2 pound increments the whole way through and up pretty high. Now, I'm a freshwater fisherman, so I'm primarily targeting, and I'm in the eastern United States in Maryland, so I'm primarily targeting things like bass, panfish, like bluegill, sunfish, some trout occasionally, and then even there are places around here you can go for walleye, catfish can be pretty fun, carp are fun fish to catch, there's muskie and tiger muskie in certain locations, there's even striped bass that get pretty large as well. So most waters, especially here, in the area I'm located, and I think pretty prevalent all across the country, panfish, bass, and whether it's largemouth or smallmouth, and trout tend to be the main game fish that you go after. If you go after catfish or anything like that, because they're pretty tasty, anything that's going to work for bass is typically a fine setup to work for them. So I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this. So the best way I can explain to you is on the side of a rod. If you go into a store and you're looking at rods, you'll see them real small and real lightweight, all ultra light setups are what these are called, clear up to something that's a heavy rating, and it's going to be, pretty thick diameter, and it's a bigger reel on it, and it's a heavier setup. So what's the difference between them, and why are there different setups? Well, there's many reasons, but primarily it has to do with the size of the bait or lure that you're using. If you put an eighth ounce sinker and a hook and a worm on a heavy rod that has 15 pound test on it or 20 pound test on it, you'll notice you can't cast it very well. Why? Well, because the line has weight to it, and the heavier the line weight rating is, the thicker that line is, and therefore the more that line weighs, and the more it has surface area that's going to kind of rub along the eyes in the fishing rod as it goes up, and so it's going to have a little more friction to it. So when you don't have much weight on the end of that, it's not going to pull it out very well, so you can't cast it very far. The reverse can also be true. If you're trying to fish a 3/4 ounce lure on an ultralight setup, you'll notice that just having the lure hanging off the end of the rod bends the rod down. And the line, is you'll be able to cast it a mile, don't get me wrong, but the line is not really set up to handle fishing a weight or a lure that's that big, and a lot of times it'll snag and bump on the bottom, and with that much weight on it, you can easily snap your line. So there's a big difference in what each type is sort of designed for and how it works. So you know, you do want to be careful in that selection. So what selections are we kind of talking about here? Well, let's go back to the first part here again. So fishing is also catching particular fish. So for example, if you're going to go after bluegills and panfish of other types, you know, you don't want to have to put a 3/4 ounce lure on there. It's probably going to be far too big for that type of fish to get it. You know, you're not going to have a huge weight, a big hook, because you're targeting a fish with a very small mouth. So it's not going to, you're going to want to use small stuff. And again, using something too small on a larger setup just isn't going to work well for you. So where I want to focus in on is something in a light to medium range. So what does that mean? You're going to be looking for something that is not the smallest one there, but it's not the biggest one there. And if you look on the side of a fishing rod, usually just above the handle, but they can be located in other places, you will see a rating on there. There'll be some writing. You know, it might have like the brand and the model of what the fishing rod is, but somewhere along the side it's going to say like medium action, light action, heavy action, somewhere along those lines. And so we're going to look for something in a light or medium. Probably medium is a better way to start, especially if you think you're going to be going for bass, because bass are a little bit bigger fish and they fight pretty aggressively. So you may want something that's a little bit heavier than just a light. But if you know where you're going, you're just going to be catching some smaller panfish, a light setup is going to work fine. I don't recommend starting with an ultralight. You want to be kind of comfortable with what you're doing first, because there are a few things in there, and I'll go over some of these pointers later in another episode on you know, techniques that you're going to kind of switch up or change based on you know, being a light or an ultralight rod or reel, you know, heavy or medium or whatever. So they're going to say on the side of the rod that it's a light setup, a medium setup, a heavy setup, ultralight. You'll even see, and it's usually on probably a little bit more expensive setups, that they're going to say like a, you can find like a medium heavy or a light medium setup. But we're going to focus somewhere between a light and a medium, or on those two. And again, if you know there's some bass in the waters you're fishing, I'd probably recommend starting with a medium. And a medium then is going to say after it something to the effect of, you know, 6 to 12 pound test, which basically means that it's good for fishing line that's 6 pound, 8 pound, 10 pound, 12 pound test, and works pretty well. You may see another designation on there that may say like moderate fast, fast, ultra fast, something like that. And that has to do with how rigid the rod is at the end of the tip. So if you would grab a fishing rod and hold one end in the handle end in one hand and reach out and grab the tip with the other and bend it, you'll notice that that thing bends in an arc. Now, you'll notice it's not a completely symmetric arc. The base of the rod is much thicker than the tip, and so it's not going to bend as much towards the handle, and the tip is going to bend more. So if you get something that has a tip rating of fast, for example, that tip is going to actually be a little more rigid and it's not going to bend, and you'll notice a more uniform arc. It's actually transferring more power back the rod as opposed to using nothing but the end of the rod. So I'm not going to get into that part. It's a little more advanced, and you're not, unless you're doing a lot of lure fishing, that's not going to be anything that you're too worried about at this stage. So I'm not going to go too far into that. Mainly what you're going to look for is something that says light or medium. And again, you're looking for probably something, I usually recommend starting somewhere right around 8 pound test is a good average. So if you're 6 pound, 10 pound, that's fine. If you're doing a lot of bluegill fishing and trout fishing, you could stay on that six pound range, or even go down to 4. So again, it's going to give you a light, you know, you might get a light rod and it's going to say, 4 to 8 pound test, for example, and a medium is going to say 6 to 12, or maybe even 8 to 14 or something, and that's okay. We're going to want to target in somewhere around the 8 pound average range. Now, when you go into a store to purchase one or get one online, they sell them in combos a lot of times. And for a beginner, this is really the ideal way to start. You would get a rod with a reel already on it and a fishing line even on it too in a lot of cases. So you're already set up because the rod is going to tell you it's a light or a medium and here's the line ratings you can use on it. And the reel is going to have the same stuff. Now, reels typically aren't going to tell you they're medium or light or heavy. They're just going to give you line ratings. So they're going to say, you know, 4 to 8 pounds or 6 to 10 pound line weight rating. And usually after that, they'll also give a little chart that'll tell you how much fishing line goes on the reel at each weight. So, you know, 6 pound test is thinner than 10 pound test. So it might tell you at 6 pounds, you're putting 250 yards on it. And at 10 pounds, you're only putting 175, or something like that. But they'll be on all the sides of the reels. So you do want to make sure your reel is kind of matching up with your rod. And if you purchase a combo, it's already one that's set up. So you've got a reel that's designed for 6 to 10 pound test and a rod that's designed for 6 to 10 pound test. And if it has line on it, it's probably going to be, you know, 8 pound test or somewhere in the range that it's designed for. So that's the easiest way to get something that's going to work for you. Even if you buy a used one at a yard sale or something like that, most likely whoever had it either bought it as a combo themselves or when they purchased it, they purchased the rod and reel that match. It's not always critical that they do match, but it's something you want to be cognizant of. You want to make sure that you're not putting a reel that can only handle 2 and 4 pound test on a rod that's designed for 10 pounds and more for reasons stated earlier that it doesn't match up and they don't work well together. We'll kind of go over the synergy of how this stuff all works together in later episodes too when I get a break into the styles of fishing rods and reels in a little more in depth. So again, go to a sporting goods store, go to a yard sale, find yourself something that you can put 6 to 10 pound test on, and you'll see it on the side of the rod and on the spool of the reel typically, and you'll be good to go. So with rod and reel selection in, you can get fishing line. If you buy something without fishing line at say a sporting goods store, I would recommend you go to somebody there and say, because they'll typically put fishing line on for you in most sporting goods stores. And you can, if it's 6 to 10 pound test, ask them to put 8 pound test on it. And for starters, stick with monofilament. You'll see there's braids and fluorocarbons and everything else. Monofilaments are inexpensive and they work really well. So you can stick with something like that. So now that you've got rod and reel and line on it, we're going to need the end tackle. So you're looking at I'm going to kind of walk right through this. So we're going to start with what's called a snap swivel. You don't have to use these, but again, for beginners, I'm going to recommend this. So what a snap swivel is, it's basically a little barrel swivel, which is basically a little piece of metal that's sort of looks like a spring in the middle with a loop on each end. And those loops can spin independently of each other. So you're going to tie your fishing line on to one of those loops. And on a snap swivel, it's a barrel swivel with a clip on one end. So you tie the other end to the end of your fishing line. And then you can now put, whatever you want onto that snap, onto the clip side, and close it around, an eye and a lure or something like that to fish it, or through a loop that's on a leader with a hook on it, which we're going to go over here in just a second. So a snap swivel is a great way to start. You don't need to start with a snap swivel. But again, for beginners, it's ideally the way to go. Explaining to you how to tie on a snap swivel or anything really is pretty difficult to do on a podcast. So I'm not even going to try just yet. I'm going to ask that, you jump on YouTube real quick and type in, how to tie a snap swivel onto a fishing line. They're going to show you how to use a pretty basic
slick knot. It takes a minute or two to tie, but it's a simple knot. It's the main one you're going to use, so you're going to want to learn that. I will try to get some videos or do something that I can sort of put that out there, I'm going to sort of gloss over that one for the moment. So now if you've got a line, you tie your snap swivel onto the end of it. Now, when you look at snap swivels at a sporting goods store, you're going to see sizes. They're going to range from, 14 to 4 or somewhere around there. Keep in mind that the smaller the number, the bigger the piece of tackle, or the bigger the snap swivel, the bigger the hook, etc. So we're going to have, again, depending on the line rating you use, if you're heavier, go with a slightly bigger. If you're lighter, go with a slightly smaller. But I'm going to say if you start with something around a size 8 or 10 even, works great. If your fingers are, if you've got big fingers and you're, kind of look at the size of the snap swivel, you think you're going to have trouble using a snap swivel, get a bigger snap swivel. They're easier to use when they're bigger because you have a little bit more area to kind of get your fingers onto that to open and close that snap swivel. When you take a look at one, you'll kind of see what I mean. So, but again, start with something around a size 8 or a size 10 will work well in the setups that we're talking about. So once you've got a snap swivel on the end, you're going to need a hook. So you'll see there's a million types and sizes of hooks. So what we're going to look for are, they'll have packs typically of hooks that have a leader on them, which is basically about an 8-inch or so piece of fishing line that's already tied to the hook, and it has a loop on the other end. So what we're going to do is we're going to get a couple packs of those. I'm going to recommend that you get, say, about a size 8 set of leaders, and there's usually 6 or so in a pack. You can get big multi-packs that have a whole bunch of different sizes in them, and that's fine. Those work well. But I'm going to say get yourself a pack or two of size 10 or 8, and get yourself, 8's probably better, 10's getting pretty small, but if you're catching a lot of small bluegill and panfish, 10 might be the way to go. I'd also recommend, if you think there's bass there and you may catch some bass, to get a size 2 or a size 4, get a pack or two of those, because they're going to be a much bigger hook. A size 8 hook with a leader, you could almost about lay that hook on your pinky nail and it won't hang off any side. So it's a pretty darn small hook. A size 6 or a size 2, for example, is probably an inch and a quarter long shank with a hook that loops out, and the end of the hook is maybe a half inch or 3/8 of an inch away from the shank of the hook. So it's a pretty good size hook. But again, if you're going for bass, you want a little bit of a bigger hook, because a small hook can tear out easy. They can throw it. So you might still hook some bass, but you may end up losing them a little bit easier. Get yourself a pack of number 8s or even number 10s, and get yourself a pack or two of number 2s, and that's going to get you a reasonable assortment. Once you're out and you get fishing, if you notice a few things, which we'll kind of go over in the next episode a little bit more, if you're just not catching fish, they're eating all your bait, and you can't hook them, you might have a hook that's too big. If you're catching, or you're hooking into some bass, and they keep throwing the hook, your hook's probably a little too small, and you may need to increase the size. So it's a little tough to tell you exactly which ones to start with, but these two sizes are going to give you a little bit of a start. So now we've got our hooks. So then all you need to do is open up your snap swivel and put the loop from the end of the leader and the hook onto that snap swivel and close it. And so now you've got a snap swivel, about an 8-inch piece of fishing line, and a hook on the other end. Now you're going to want to look for bait hooks in this scenario. They do make some different types. You'll see like egg hooks and different things. You're looking for bait holder hooks. So they're going to look just like a hook looks like, except you're going to see that it might have some little sharp points on the backside of the shank of the hook, and that lets you, when you put the worm on there, it stays on there easier with those extra little barbs on there. So that works pretty good. Don't worry about treble hooks or other types of hooks and stuff, or loose hooks really at this point, until we get a little bit more advanced on that. So now you have a fishing rod, reel, line, you got a snap swivel on there and a hook, so you could put a worm on there and cast it out and catch fish. Now, if you do this and you have 8-pound test on there, you're going to notice really quickly you can't cast very far. You might get, you know, the 10 feet out into the water and you want to get a lot farther. So how do we address this? Well, there's two types of fishing that we're going to be looking at. One is bottom fishing and one is bobber fishing. So if you're going to bottom fish, you need to get some sinkers or weights, and I'm going to recommend that we go with split shots. Split shots kind of look like Pac-Man with a little tail. It's a round ball of weight with an open mouth and a little tail behind the mouth on the back side of that little ball. So what you can do is you can slide the open mouth over the line, just like Pac-Man was going to bite the fishing line, and then use a pair of pliers to kind of crimp it on there. You don't need to crimp it crazy tight or anything like that. You just want it to kind of bite down on the line so that it holds the weight there. If you want to take the weight off or move it, you can use the pliers and pinch on the tail, which will cause the mouth to open back up, and then you can take the weight off or slide it, you know, farther up or down the line. So where do you want to locate this? If you're bottom fishing, you know, go above your snap swivel, so away from the hook, 8 to 12 inches, give or take, for that. You can go closer to the snap swivel or farther. You don't want to go too crazy far away from it, no more than probably a foot and a half or 2 feet away from the snap swivel. And then, so now you've added weight. So we're going to get some split shots. And I'd recommend, they do make like multi-packs, like little plastic bins that have different weights in there. Something like that's great. But I'd probably start with something like 1/8 ounce, and maybe some quarter ounce sinkers. And because you can put multiple on if you need to. So if you're going to bottom fish, go 8 to 10 inches, 8 to 12 inches above the snap swivel and put, you know, 1/8 ounce on, or even 2/8 ounce on. Now we've got some weight on the end, and when you cast, you'll notice you can cast a lot farther. And then what's going to happen is those weights are going to sit on the bottom of the pond or lake, and your bait's just sort of going to drift out there a little bit. Now, worms sink, so they're going to sort of lay on the bottom. And fishing this way, if you're in shallow water, you'll still catch bluegills and stuff like that. It's a little better practice to fish for trout this way. It can work pretty well. You play around with it. You do a little bottom fishing, do a little top fishing. If you're in an area that's weedy or a lot of rocks or a lot of branches or something under the water, you're going to snag up on those if you bottom fish. So you got to be, you know, careful of that. And so you want to sort of kind of see what type of water you're fishing in. Streams and rivers are very difficult to bottom fish because the current will push that weight. It'll wedge it under rocks, and then you're going to end up snapping your line, or at least have difficulty getting it unstuck. So there's that route. Now, the other way is bobber fishing. So instead of putting weight on, you're going to put a bobber on. And the classic plastic red and white, you know, bobber that you see all the time is a great way to start. There's a lot of different types of bobbers, and it's hard to explain all the differences and why there's differences, but I will cover that. But let's just start with the classic, you know, red and white plastic bobber, or whatever color. The color doesn't matter. And I'm going to recommend you get something in about a 1-inch diameter. There's bigger, smaller, all over, multiple sizes. You can buy packs that have a bunch of different sizes in them. The bigger bobbers will cast easier because they weigh more, and you can see them easier if you can cast them out farther. So, you know, if you want to get a couple of real big bobbers, that works good too. Though I will tell you, if you get real big bobbers and you're catching small fish, it can be tricky because they may not pull the bobber under, and you may not really notice when they're over there, they're playing with the bait and grabbing the bait until it starts moving around. So, you know, a 1-inch roughly diameter bobber works great. Those bobbers have a little metal wire that goes through them with a hook on each end, and you basically push on one end of the bobber and the hook comes out one side, and you wrap your line around it real quick, and then you take it to the other side and wrap it around the pin on the other side when you push the button in again. And so then once you do that, and again, you can sort of use the same principle. You can go 8 to 12 inches above the snap swivel. If you notice the fish are right up at the surface of the water, you could put that bobber almost right where your snap swivel is. If you think they're a little bit deeper, you can slide that bobber up the line. You want to release those hooks, though. You don't want to just just pull the bobber up the line, because that's going to cause friction on the line that wears the line really fast. You'll notice it'll develop like curls and twists in it when you do that. So if you're going to move the bobber up or down the line, take it the whole way off and then move it to the new location and put it back on. So that's going to give you everything you need to get fishing. Now, you're also going to, I recommend a net for everybody, because you just never know what you're going to catch. So, you know, having a net handy is great. They're relatively inexpensive. And the other two items you're going to want to have are a pair of needle nose pliers, or I love forceps, just like you see on doctors, on the TV shows. You know, it's a real small, thin, like stainless steel type set of pliers. And they actually have like clips on the back in between where your fingers go that let it lock and basically clamp together. And if you let go of it, it still stays clamped onto whatever you put it on, like a hook. So the forceps work great, whether they're straight or curved. I usually use 4 or 5 inch forceps, work real well for me, and you know, I like those. I also usually carry a pair of needle nose pliers in case I need to do something slightly heavier. But if you have a pair of needle nose pliers, as long as you can get them into the fish's mouth to grab hold of the hook, to remove the hook from the fish's mouth, you know, anything like that works fine. There's other types of hook extraction tools. There's, you know, things that sort of look like little guns that you just crimp a handle to have the end clamp shut. So I'm going to stick with pliers at this point. They're the least expensive and work very well. The last thing you're going to want is going to be a pocket knife or some type of small blade that lets you cut fishing line and things of that nature. If you're going to keep fish to eat, you're going to want to, you know, the stuff to gut them and so forth, and clean them up that way. I don't tend to keep too many fish. I do more catch and release than anything, but sometimes you want to, so you're going to want something for that. But mainly you're looking at something to cut line and so forth. So that's going to give you all the basic equipment to get out fishing. Now, if you are thinking of keeping fish, you know, you want to go out and catch some trout and eat some for dinner, that's great. I still do that from time to time. It's a wonderful practice. They stock trout every year in a lot of locations, just so people can do that. And if you are doing that, you're going to need a stringer. There's little like rope type stringers that you basically put the one end down through the fish's mouth and out a gill, and then you loop it back around and pull it through. There's like a loop on one end, and then it has a little metal shank on it that you stick into the ground, and you know, you toss the stringer into the water so the fish can stay alive and stay fresh, basically, while you're continue fishing. And then there's ones that look they're kind of like big paper clips almost. It's they're metal. They actually work just like your snap swivels do, except they're big enough to put through the fish's mouth, out the gill, clamp it, and then you know, you basically do the same thing. So if you are going to keep some fish, you're going to address that. You know, they make creels, and you know, just buckets even work fine to throw fish in. So there's a lot there. So again, rod, reel, and line, basic terminal tackle of snap swivels, split shot sinkers, bobbers in roughly a 1-inch diameter, and hooks, preferably like snelled hooks with leaders on them, will work better for you and easier for you to begin with. Size, you know, maybe a couple packs of size 8 or 10 and a couple packs of size 2. That's going to get you fishing. Obviously, you're going to need some bait, some worms, salmon eggs, something along that line. Worms, of course, are the traditional. And then just the extra equipment we're looking at is a net, and pliers, and a pocket knife of some type, and a stringer if you're thinking of keeping them. So the last thing then that you would really need would just be then, yeah, your bait, whether it's night crawlers, red worms, that's going to work pretty well for you. And of course, your fishing license. So if you get that stuff, you get out there, get fishing, try it out, and if you learn that you really like it, tune in again, and we're going to kind of go over my next episode. I really want to go over the basics of fishing. Now that you've got everything and you've gotten out, where do you sort of want to go, and how do you kind of want to fish? So I thank you for tuning in. Sorry, this is a pretty long podcast. I'm hoping to keep them all between 20 and 30 minutes, but I did want to get into there a little more in depth with our new fisher folk. And so get out there, and hopefully some tight lines until I talk to you again, and take care. Thank you.